قالوا يا ذا القرنين إن يأجوج ومأجوج مفسدون في الأرض فهل نجعل لك خرجا على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم سدا قال ما مكنني فيه ربي خير فأعينوني بقوة أجعل بينكم وبينهم ردما آتوني زبر الحديد حتى إذا ساوى بين الصدفين قال انفخوا حتى إذا جعله نارا قال آتوني أفرغ عليه قطرا فما استطاعوا أن يظهروه وما استطاعوا له نقبا قال هذا رحمة من ربي فإذا جاء وعد ربي جعله دكا وكان وعد ربي حقا وتركنا بعضهم يومئذ يموج في بعض ونفخ في الصور فجمعناهم جمعا وعرضنا جهنم يومئذ للكافرين عرضا الذين كانت أعينهم في غطاء عن ذكري وكانوا لا يستطيعون سمعا أفحسب الذين كفروا أن يتخذوا عبادي من دوني أولياء إنا أعتدنا جهنم للكافرين نزلا قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائي فحبطت أعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا ذلك جزاؤهم جهنم بما كفروا واتخذوا آياتي ورسلي هزوا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها حولا قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والجنة للموحدين، ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، honorable fathers, honorable mothers, honorable brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. First and foremost, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors and the bounties and the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bestow upon us. And we place salawat and taslim upon the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam as a means of barakah. Firstly, I'd like to take this opportunity to show my shukr and my gratitude for the honor of delivering the khutbah today. I think the last time I was at this beautiful masjid, plus minus, probably 5 years ago. And alhamdulillah, I see the beautiful upgrades. It's looking beautiful, mashallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all those who have invested in this beautiful masjid, Allah grant them khair and barakah in the dunya and akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our imamat and our community and our trustees all khair and barakah. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Jamaat al-Muslimin, when we think about this dunya, we understand it to be a place that is not meant for peace. It is not a place that entirely is going to give you that absolute happiness and that absolute tranquility and that absolute harmony There's a reason as to why Darul Akhirah is known as well as Darul Salam. It is known as the place of peace and tranquility. And this dunya, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it within the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this dunya and created death and life for what reason, Ya Rabbi? Because it's important for us to also not necessarily question in a manner that we deny, but inquire so that we can understand, so that when we face difficulty upon the dunya, we can face it with iman. But iman is an understanding of absolute conviction, and it's not blind imitation. And the biggest strength that a person can use when facing this dunya is none other than the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, informs us, why did I create this dunya? Why did I create life and death? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test and see who are those that are going to come with the most righteous, most best of acts that you can do. Now sometimes, Jamaat al-Muslimin, we have a misconception when it comes to the best. We think that the best means perfection. Have we forgotten that all perfection alone belongs to Allah? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all that He describes Himself, is all perfect in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not contained by anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not confined by anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not encompassed by anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dependent on anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited by anything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything for anything, yet everything is in need of Allah for everything. This is our iman, Jamaatul Muslimin. And once we fathom, we understand that all perfection alone belongs to Allah, we will then understand that it is not expected from us perfection. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, when speaking about the creation of the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Human being has been created weak. We were created with our faults and our errors and our limitations, and it is not expected for us to become infallible. The only infallible beings that ever walked upon the face of the earth, sinless, are none other than the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other than that, you won't find anybody that is infallible of humankind. And so when we look at this ayah and we understand that Allah is informing us beforehand that I've created this dunya so that I might test and see who is going to be the most sincere and genuine when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayah comes to mind that we think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Wallahi, beautiful. And it is important for us to contemplate Jamaat al-Muslimin. This Quran is not meant to just merely translate. And please, translation does not mean tafsir. Somebody that thinks they open an English version, translation of the Quran, that is not tafsir. I heard on the other night on one of the radio stations, somebody says, no, I myself go to the Quran and I read. And the person asked them, do you read Arabic? They said, no, we read it from the English. Remember, you are then depending on the interpretation of that translator. So that is not tafsir. In case people think I can become a scholar just by merely translating the Quran. You can't. There are many other sciences that are connected to the science of understanding the Quran. But coming back, it is not only meant to be translated, Jamaatul Muslimin, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder? Do they not contemplate? Do they not question and try to understand? I know in the past, especially myself, I was brought up old school, and our traditional mashayikh in Egypt were also very old school. So whenever a person of authority told us something, as-sam'a wa ta'a, we obey and we listen. Right? If my father told me, make me a cup of tea, if I had to ask why, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We know that. If we had to ask or inquire about our mashayikh sometimes, and some mashayikh looked at it differently, but at times if you ask the sheikh a question in the past, it might seem as if it's disrespectful. Why are you questioning the sheikh? But are we forgetting that the sunnah of this deen is not blind imitation. It is based upon conviction, because literally the linguistic meaning of iman is absolute conviction. How does one reach to absolute conviction? With evidence and proof. With knowledge. That's why Allah did not order us to merely say, La ilaha illallah, but Allah told us in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Verily know, understand it, research, seek that knowledge when it comes to Allah. Because we see that was also the sunnah of the malaika. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Nabi Adam alayhi salam, what was the question? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to them and informed them that I've created Nabi Adam, and they asked, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Ya Allah, you're creating a being that is going to cause chaos, that is going to cause havoc, corruption upon this dunya. And wallahi, the malaika are not far from the truth when we look at ourselves. When we look at ourselves, Jamaatul Muslimin, you know, in the difficult times that we are facing, yes, there are so many enemies to Islam. So many enemies. Whether we're talking about the Zionist apartheid state of Israel, whether we're talking about the West and everything in its agenda, whether we look at France or all of these different countries, these are definitely enemies of our deen. But have we taken a moment to look within ourselves? Because your nafs is your worst enemy they can ever face. Your nafs is your worst enemy that you can ever face. We are expected to go and we say, I had this youngster came to me the other day, Sheikh, when is jihad going to come? When are we going to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I asked him just a simple question. I asked him, did you go to masjid this morning for Fajr? Ah, no, Sheikh, it was too cold this morning, Sheikh. And we understand it's cold. I mean, it is a jihad on its own. But why are we getting our prioritization wrong here? If we want to take on the path of Sahaba that fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's start of what they start off. And what was that? The building of the iman. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha mentions it. This is mentioned in the book of Al-Imam al-Suyuti al-Iqan fi Ulum al-Quran. He says that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Nabi alayhi salam for the first 12 to 13 years only focused on matters of iman. Only focus on matters of aqidah, matters of faith and belief. Why? Because that is what is going to motivate the believer. And this, she says, in actual fact, she says so beautifully. She says, and if the Nabi had to start other way around, meaning if we had to start with the ahkam, the laws, the rules, the regulations, those type of things, she says in her own words, she says, then you might find some of us not here today as we are. Which again emphasizes the importance of iman, the importance of your faith, the importance of your belief. Somebody comes in our community and says something controversial, then woo, we lose our iman. Why is it that we lose our iman? Are we that easily intimidated? Are we that easily doubtful when it comes to certain matters of our aqidah? Why is that, Jamaatul Muslimin? If we're looking in our communities and we see how many classes takes place, and this is not necessarily to give a negative aspect to the teachers, but to again prioritize what we need to prioritize. We have fiqh classes, we have hadith classes, we have tafsir classes, we have hajj classes, we have marriage classes, as though they don't even have a spouse yet. These are the people that are attending these classes. But let me ask, where's the aqidah class? Where's the classes that is there to consolidate your iman, that is first and foremost prioritized? Because Allah instructs us, know why Allah is alone verily worthy of being worshipped. Don't just say it, Allah says. Don't just say it. Because when it comes to trials and tribulations, Jamaatul Muslimin, your biggest defense is your iman. And that's why the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hajaban li amril mu'min. How amazing and astonishing is the state of what? A believer. And don't think that a believer and a Muslim is necessarily the same, Jamaatul Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected the Arabs, those who entered right in the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, وَقَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا كُلَّمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يُدْخِلُوا الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Arabs, a Bedouin tribe, came to the Nabi and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have iman. And so Allah corrected them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't say that you have Iman yet, but say that you have Islam, and eventually Iman will enter into your heart. So this is the stage of the Muslim. And what is the Nabi reminding us? عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ لَيْسَ الْمُسْلِمِ. How amazing is the state of a believer. When something good comes his way, hamid Allah, he thanks and he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When other than good comes his way, he still seeks istighfar, but he thanks and he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because his iman safeguards in the way that he perceives things. Because some of us might look at things like a cup that is half empty, and some of us might see it as half full. Somebody might see something in a good way, based upon the way, the positive mindset that they have and the strength they have in their iman, and others will might see it as it khalas, the day of Qiyamah. Jamaatul Muslimin, Allah informed us, He will test us, لَنْرُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. Fear. There are going to be times we are terrified to our bone. And if we have not experienced it yet, prepare for it. It's coming. Allah has warned us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us with fear, and we will be so scared and so terrified. Why? Because we are going to try. And Imam Sha'rawi actually explains beautifully this. He gives a nice tafsir of this particular ayah. He says, why is it that you're going to be terrified? Why is Allah testing you with fear? Because in that moment, he says, we are going to try to do everything we can to avoid that fear. We are going to prepare ourselves in a way that we're going to make sure that everything is in place. That whether it be fear that somebody is going to break in tonight, somebody is going to steal our things in tonight, so we're going to put the alarm on, we're going to get the dogs ready, we're going to get the security company ready, all of these different things. And what can occur, even though we have placed all of these things in place, Allah will show us. You might plan, but Allah is the best of planners. You might put the things there, but Allah is the one that is in control of everything. And even though all of those things are placed there, what happens? Creation disappoints. Creation disappoints. No matter what you do, never expect perfection from creation. It has its faults. So what is Allah trying to teach us in that moment of being terrified and fearful? My slave, you are turning to the wrong one. You are turning to the one that is limited. Why haven't you turned to the one that is limitless? Why haven't you turned to the one that is all-powerful? Why haven't you turned to the one that said in a hadith that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, that there are two du'as, and one of that is never rejected by Allah, it's mustajab, and that is da'watul madloom. The dua of a person that has been transgressed against, that has been oppressed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that person when they make dua, that I will see to your victory, even it be in a moment. Even it be in a moment. Why is it that we are making that our last thing that we do, instead of starting off by firstly asking Allah first? By turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this becomes the lesson of fear. Still don't want to learn the lesson? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Hunger. We're going to face the Jamaatul Muslimin. It will come. And this is the beauty of our deen. All of these tests is to show us, at the end of the day, this dunya does not last long. That everything upon this dunya is subject to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us also in Surah Al-Inshirah, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. That word difficulty ease, it doesn't come after. The word that is used there is not after. Many of us find ourselves translating, after difficulty comes ease. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, within that difficulty you will find the ease. How do I find it? Perspective. It is that perspective of a mu'min that when he sees the situation, he knows, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَيْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ. Then nothing can occur, nothing can happen except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith also that comes to mind that al-Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahullah radiallahu anhu, he mentions in his book, أَهْيَاءُ ul-Muddin. And yes, there's a question on its authentication, but it's something to think about. He says, the hadith, the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Abdi, my slave, anta turid wa ana urid. You want and I want. فَإِنْ أَطَعْتَنِي فِي مَا أُرِيدٍ. If you obey me in what I want, Allah is speaking to each and every one of us. And Allah is saying, if you obey me in what I want, أَعْطَيْتُكَ مَا تُرِيدٍ. I will give you what you want. It's not difficult upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give each and every creation its haqq and more, Jamaatul Muslimin. So Allah says, I will give you what you want if you obey me. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن لَمْ تُعْطِنِي فِي مَا أُرِيدٍ. But if you don't obey me in what I want, أَتْعَبْتُكَ فِي مَا تُرِيدٍ. I will make it difficult for what you want. وَلَنْ يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدٍ. And at the end of the day, it will only be for what I want. It will only be for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written out for us, Jamaatul Muslimin. And that's why Allah reminds us that that test of hunger is coming our way. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us what comes after that. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ. And you're going to face loss of people and wealth. People that are loved ones that are around us. Whether it be our parents, whether it be our siblings, or even more sad, whether it be our own children. How we would long to have them with us, even if it be a moment. But Jamaatul Muslimin, death is not a lesson for the ones who have passed on. Death is a lesson for those who live on. Because Allah is reminding us, my slave, have you forgotten that each and every one of you have a beginning and that will ultimately also lead to your end? There is only one that is eternal with no beginning, everlasting with no end. There is only one that nothing can cause anything for him, but he is the ultimate cause for everything. And that is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my slave, know as your beautiful loved one passed away, you are also going to return to me. Have you prepared for that return? Have you made sure that you have put all the business plans for your akhirah, investment for your akhirah? Have we only done that for the dunya? Have we only made sure that our children are secure when it comes to the dunya? Or have we secured them for the akhirah? Because verily, Jamaatul Muslimin, whether we are big businessmen, whether we are doctors, whether we are engineers, at the end of the day, we all know, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. There's no doubt about it. We don't have if we die, we have when we die. It's certain. There's no escaping it. In actual fact, Imam al-Qurtubi, he mentions, and this is really dealing with your iman, he mentions that when the ayah was revealed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that every soul shall taste death. He says that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that the malaika said, Alhamdulillah ya Rabbi, we are not human beings. They have a nafs, we don't have a nafs. We were created out of nur, so this ayah is not applicable for us. We are going to live on and we're going to worship Allah. And then the next ayah was revealed, Ibn Abbas says. He says, then the ayah where Allah says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. Everything upon it will perish. So what did the malaika say? They said, Ya Rabb, Alhamdulillah, we are not the people of the earth, but we are the people of the heavens. So this ayah is not applicable to us. We will live on and we will worship Allah. And then the final ayah was revealed. And that ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَا. Every single thing will perish and come to an end except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the malaika fell down into sujood and they said, سُبْحَانَ الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. All glory and all perfection belongs to the one that is alive and will never die. The lesson is for us. It is to inform us, my slave, you are dependent on me. When are you going to realize that? My slave, you need to trust me. When are you going to realize that? You know, when we think, and maybe some of us have experienced this, Our tawakkul upon creation is so blind, wallahi, that sometimes we forget that they're creation. We trust our parents and our loved ones so much that we have no doubt in our hearts that they will always see to the best that we need to have. Maybe we've experienced when we were younger. I know I have, when there's long road trips with the family, and then many of those shame the poor driver does not get sleep, but the passengers all, mashallah, they take that nap in that long drive. Especially when you're in traffic also, yeah, Allah. Have we forgotten that the driver is human? Have we forgotten that the driver can cause an accident? Have we forgotten that he can just make a small error and it can be the end of your life, but you will fall asleep with an absolute peaceful heart as if there is nothing wrong in the world? Why? Because you have experienced that contentment and that peace, and you trust that individual so much, whether it be our parents, you trust them so much that you know they will never put you in harm's way. Now, if that is the manner that we trust creation, Jamaatul Muslimin, if that is the manner that we trust our parents, what about the creator of our parents? What about the creator of creation? It's as if, you know, that moment when you are trying to convince somebody that you are truly wanting to do good for them, and you are begging them, you are pleading them, trust me. Why not? Trust me. I will not fail you. Trust me. What about Allah? Allah does not even need our trust, but yet out of His rahmah, He tells us, why are you not making tawakkul upon me? That anybody that makes tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ حَزْبُ, sufficient for him, enough for him. Because nothing can overpower and overwhelm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why, Jamaatul Muslimin, it is important for us to start seeking and knowing whether we are merely just informed about Allah or whether we know Allah. My time is up, but I want to end up with one example, and we can all do this test with ourselves. I generally get invited to many of these schools, high schools, so I do this experiment with the youngsters. So I ask them, look here, does anybody have best friends, you know, besties? And they say, yes, yeah. Say, okay, who's your bestie? This person here. How long do you know them? 3, 4, 5 years. Oh, mashallah. So you say you know the person inside out? I say, yes, Sheikh. I say, you know what makes them happy? Yes, Sheikh. You know what makes them sad? Yes. What makes them angry? Everything, yes. There's one youngster actually came to me and said, Sheikh, I know him so well that we don't even need words to communicate with each other. We just look at each other, that facial expression. We just look at one another and we get the whole talk. In actual fact, I saw this and it seemed for me like a whole Jummah khutbah was taking place just with the eyes, mashallah. Right? A whole Jummah khutbah. I said, mashallah, so you guys know each other so well that you don't even need words to speak. He says, yes, Sheikh. I said, okay. Now I want you to take that relationship and how well you know that best friend. Now compare that to how well you know Allah. Who do you know better? And sadly, many times we are at fault that we know creation better than creator. And Jamaatul Muslimin, to turn that tide is not impossible. Just as much effort and time you have spent in the company of that best friend, you can do that with Allah and more. And that becomes your key towards not merely just being informed about Allah, but actually knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that opportunity to renew our faith and our covenant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we don't merely just imitate when it comes to our faith, but we have absolute conviction. Amin rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahumma ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Jamaatul Muslimin. First and foremost, we say Jazakumullah khairan to Sheikh Zayed Fattar for his inspiring words. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those words resonate with us, inshallah, and that each and every one of us benefit from this very emotive, very inspiring talk, inshallah. It's very heartwarming for us to see that Sheikh Zayed Fattar is carrying on the magnificent legacy of his dad, Sheikh Riyad Fattar, mashallah. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings Sheikh Zayed and his dad back to us, inshallah, for more lectures, inshallah. There's been some requests for Shifa for certain brothers, the one being Brother Dawood Parker. There's also Brother Javed Dalvi, who will be undergoing an operation on Monday. And also dua for Brother Ismail Ashtika, who is the brother of Dr. Ashtika, who is one of the trustees at our masjid. And then also on some good news, alhamdulillah, our trustee, our beloved Nuribai, Nur Muhammad Faki, is making a recovery, alhamdulillah. And there is an empty spot there, and inshallah we make dua that soon we'll be seeing him again. Alhamdulillah, he's turned the corner, and he's looking much better than he did a few weeks ago. So we make dua, inshallah, with everybody's duas. Alhamdulillah, he's making a speedy recovery. And then also, we just ask all those who are suffering and all those who are ill that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them ease and removes all discomfort, inshallah. Then, on a final note, we are imploring the community to please join us for a stand for Palestine. We've seen the numbers dwindle over the past couple of weeks. We are at times down to five, at times down to seven on the corner of Eiskrige and Plattekloof. It's not a good showing. I know one becomes desensitized over time, but there is a healing that takes place when we do engage in these protests. At least we get an opportunity to show and voice our dissent against what's going on. And things aren't going, it's escalating. And it's escalating at a phenomenal pace with the assassination of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh last week Wednesday. And now we see that the Zionists are engaging in a proxy war in the UK. How far removed is UK from Gaza? But now they've managed to, with the dissemination of false information, create hatred against the Muslims. So let us not wait until the fight is on our doorsteps. You know, it's very easy for us to just put this at the back of our minds and carry on. But last night, as a precursor to this demonstration, we had some feedback from the Al Imdad Foundation. And it brought tears to all our eyes, whether it is the IDF setting a dog on an autistic boy or the manner in which a father cries out for his children amongst the rubble, calling out each child's name. We were all weeping at the masjid. And that reinstalled the vigor, the feeling that we had back in October, back earlier this year, when we stood in our droves along the road. Even if you give us 30 minutes of your time, 20 minutes of your time, inshallah, we will be held accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, what did you do that Friday that was a public holiday and you had 20 minutes to spare? Can you spare 20 minutes? Even if you don't have a placard or a poster, young and old, it will be a form of showing that we are able to protest peacefully, and it will be a very good way for us to start even the healing within ourselves as we witness the atrocities. So I implore you to please join us immediately after Jumu'ah Salah at the corner of Plattekloof Road in Eiskrige. Wa akhir da'wah alhamdulillah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
وبركاته.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، كان الله ولا مكان، وهو على ما كان قبل خلق المكان، لم يتغير عما كان، علم ما كان وعلم ما يكون، وعلم ما سيكون، وعلم ما لا يكون، وعلم ما لم يكن إن كان كيف كان يكون. وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله ما استطعتم، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. وعندما تحدث النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عن الابتلاء فقال: يبتلى المرء على حسب دينه، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. وفي حديث آخر قال: إن الله إذا أحب قوما ابتلاهم. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم، ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولوالدي ولوالديكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله ما استطعتم، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وعندما تحدث النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عن أهمية التقوى فقال: اتق الله حيثما كنت، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألها، وما أنتم بمعجزين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر الصهاينة أعداك أعداء الدين. اللهم شدد شملهم، اللهم مزق جمعهم، اللهم دمر ديارهم، اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين، اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين، اللهم اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة، اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله، إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعدكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأهم وأتم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قامت الصلاة، قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. سوسوك رحمكم الله. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. ونتوب إليك ونسألك توبة ومغفرة وهداية لنا، إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. اللهم رب الناس أذهب البأس، اشف أنت الشافي، لا شفاء إلا شفاءك، شفاء لا يغادر سقما. اللهم اغفر لأهل القبور من المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات، ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات يا مولانا يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في فلسطين. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في غزة. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. قال الله تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم بفضلك دعواهم فيها. سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم الحمد لله.